In today's society, we like to label everything. I'm not talking about putting dates and names on our food. I'm talking about our political views, religious views, sexual preferences, and so on. Are having all these labels helping us as a society to get along? Let's discuss it after I hit this music. Joining me this week is Father Robert Schneider from the Diocese of Winona and Rochester. Father Schneider, thank you for coming on today.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
So right before Ash Wednesday, before we started the Lent, you had a very interesting sermon about labels. And I've been thinking about this topic for a while now. And I didn't know how to put it without offending people. For instance, politics. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. Or as in religion, there's been wars over if you're a Jew, a Christian, Catholic. Some people are saying Catholics aren't Christian anymore. There's just all these labels. And some people are proud to have them, some people probably not. So you presented this topic very well in your sermon, and I want to have you give us your take if these labels are helping us or not.
Well, I had to pull the sermon up again to remember just what it was I talked about, and it happened to be the parable of Jesus healing the lepers. And so I launched into the thing that Jesus never did stereotypes. But the people of his time and the people of our time tend to label people. And once we put a label on a person, then they don't count anymore. They don't matter. Their feelings don't matter. Their status doesn't matter. Their hopes and dreams don't matter. So in Jesus' time, we had a label for Jews or Gentiles. Gentiles didn't count. We had a label for healthy people or sick people. Sick people don't count. We had a label for males or females. Females don't count. Females didn't matter. Females weren't allowed to speak in public. And the topic of the day was lepers. And so if you had a skin disorder, it could be eczema, but they didn't know the difference, then you don't count, you don't matter. And Jesus never looked at labels. And so throughout the gospel passages, we see the tax collector. The person who was collecting taxes of the Romans was labeled as the worst crime against Jewish religion there could possibly be. Jesus didn't care. Here was a human being. He had hopes. He had dreams. He wanted to be loved. And Jesus saw right to that. And so he went through all those labels, and labels didn't matter to Jesus. Didn't matter if you were a Jew or Greek, didn't matter if you're male or female, didn't matter if you were committed adultery, none of that mattered. He wanted to see the person. And to kind of piggyback on that, when I teach confirmation, we start with Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom. And then I talk to the students, what is wisdom? Wisdom is looking past appearances and seeing inner qualities. Okay, we move to the modern time, and you put a bunch of labels out there, gay, straight, red, blue for politics, where you were born, your skin color, your religion, place of origin, language you speak. And once we put that label on there, then you don't matter. And I can treat you poorly, and I can pass laws against you, and I can spit on you, and I can make it impossible for you to be loved or accepted once I label you. But if you have the gift of wisdom, God's Spirit within you, then your skin color doesn't matter. Your political preferences don't matter. Your gender identity doesn't matter. Here's a human being created in the image of God. And it's the unique in all of history. No other creature has ever been just like you. And the truly wise person, one without labels, says, I want to see that inner quality. I want to see that part of you that's created in the image of God. And I want to enjoy it and appreciate it and affirm it. So that kind of leads into the bullying thing, I think, in a way, because when we have a bully and a victim, we already labeled the both.
Yep.
Instead of two human beings interacted, we've labeled each, and now the bully's a horrible person and should be stopped at all costs. And the victim is, well, the bullies kind of start the labeling there because you're a dweeb or you're a kid who isn't very athletic, or you're too short, or you're too awkward, or whatever it is, you look vulnerable to me, and I want to feel better so I can pick on you. Well, what sometimes we forget to carry on with this is the bully is a human being. And inside that stupid mask they put on that I'm better than you are, and I'm going to show it, and I'm going to squash you, there's a human being in there that's hurting. I've yet to find a bully that wasn't hurting inside. And boy, I don't think we ever talk or think about that very much.
Yeah, that is very true. We just talked about on last week's podcast when we're trying to combat bullying. Yes, we got to help the target. They're called targets now, not victims. But we also need to give counseling to the person who's being bullied, because we don't know what's going on in their past and their current life. They have this anger built up. They see someone that's an easy target, and they're just going to unleash on them. And I think one of the issues we have right now with schools is not that schools are not trying to stop bullying. It's that I think we lack the resources to help everybody out. And one, we forget to teach kindness. And even in going back to labels, we start at a young parent. Kids who grow up learn labels at a young age. They learn it from their parents. You know, they're going to hear the politics from their parents. So I've seen it on Facebook. A friend of mine posted this. I don't post my politic views out there, but he made a post and he goes, "If you agree with this politician, unfriend me right now." I'm like, wow, that's steep. You know, I mean, just because my views are different than your views, or they could be the same, but if I don't agree with how you think, I can't be your friend anymore. It seems like we're in today's society, Father, we're becoming so far divided these days. And we have these labels, and we have all these special days for these labels. Like, you know, everybody gets a special day if you're different. And that keeps just pushing people further apart. How do we go back to the way Jesus wants us to be, to look at people as human beings? Because even if you, for race, for instance, I just learned a new term on a podcast 2 weeks ago I did. If you don't see someone as a different skin color than you, then you're colorblind and you're racist if you don't see that. So even though that a person is trying to see people as human beings, they're still going to get knocked down saying, well, you're racist because you don't see them as that color. How do we get past this?
Well, that's a really hard one for me, because I always compare it to eye color. You don't notice my eye color, therefore you're somehow bigoted. No, I see you as a person. I don't notice your eye color. I see especially in the comic books and things, and there'll be a little kindergartner comes in and Johnny and I are just like each other. And of course, one has white skin and one has darker skin. And what do you mean we're just like each other? Well, we have the same color eyes. The kindergartner doesn't notice the skin color. It's such an irrelevant thing. It's like, do I have brown hair or black hair? Does that mean I should set up a whole system unless I mention it? Oh, you're a black-haired person. Therefore, I am not racist. If I just say I don't notice your hair color, that makes me racist or bigoted somehow. I guess I disagree with that position. And then I want to move on to another topic here. And that is the question you asked as you talked after I did. I was principal at Loyola through the 1980s. And as an administrator, faculty, we are always trying to eliminate bullying. But it's interesting, it finally ended, and not by any effort from any of us. I allowed a ninth grader to enter Loyola who has Down syndrome. And I didn't know this about Down syndrome at the time, but they tend to be empaths. And a lot of people don't know what that word means, but an empath is somebody who, when you walk in the room, I know what you're feeling, and we haven't had a conversation yet. An empath seems to sense through your body language whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're scared, whether you're exuberant. And so Matt would walk the halls of Loyola, and when he'd see a bully, he'd start bawling at the top of his lungs. Well, the bullies were so embarrassed, they stopped bullying, because Matt read what was going on. He read the pain in the target, and he read the pain in the bully.
Wow.
And within 3 months, bullying was done in that high school.
Wow.
So that goes back to my initial thing about labels. It's if we can see the inner person and feel those emotions and identify with them because they're human. And Matt could identify that there was pain, and pain means you cry out. It was a miracle. And I thought to myself, all my energy as a Catholic high school principal priest, and this kid with Down syndrome ended it in a few months.
That's amazing.
And in fact, some of the bullies in school begin to take him under their wing and protect him from anybody who might make a strange comment or fail to understand that he's operating intellectually at, I think that point was fourth grade level, okay. And he's a ninth grader.
That's amazing. Yeah. Bullying, some people will believe, some people will not, but is a learned behavior. Do you agree with that? Especially as a high school former, you know, principal of a school.
I know that racism is a learned behavior. That is not something natural. And in fact, a good way to dissect that out is to go to other countries. It was really when we started bringing black human beings, black skinned human beings from Africa, that this country set up a system where we judge people by skin color. Pretty much the rest of the planet had never done that. It was the same as eye color. We don't set up people by eye color. Another way to look at it was I read an article about if you need a blood transfusion, it doesn't matter the skin color of the person giving it. If you need AB blood, you need AB blood, and the skin color is completely irrelevant. And this person was saying, if we want to divide human beings into categories, we should have it by A, B, AB, and O. There are four distinct categories. Now, if we want to have segregation and have separate schools and everything, there's the real difference in a human being. But skin color, that's an artificial construct. We might as well say people with long noses. And of course, that's what happened in Africa, in the Belgian Congo. They just decided people with longer noses were inferior, and they set up a whole system and identity cards, and they ended up killing millions of each other because their noses were a different shape. So race is, first of all, totally a construct.
Yeah.
My perspective is, let's just treat the person as a human and ignore their skin color. Now, you mentioned somebody said that's racism. Well, I would disagree.
Yeah. And I think people forget about skin color. It comes from where your ancestors came from, part of the world. If you're towards the equator, you have to have darker skin, because otherwise the sun rays are going to eat you up. Like when I go,
it's all just because of where you live.
Yes. When I go to, like, if I go to Florida on the beach, I get burnt so fast because I am like super, super bright.
Not as fast as I do. Yeah. I'm almost albino.
Yeah. I think people forget that, you know, part of our skin is determined on where we come from, and it's to protect us from the sun's rays, basically.
But see, we had a century of actual teaching that people with dark-colored skin were not as intelligent, did not have feelings, did not get hurt if we split up their families, did not matter if we whipped them. And so for 150 years of teaching that in school, that became kind of a mindset. So this country is different than any place in the world in terms of skin color.
Yeah. Is there a good way to start introducing kindness back in schools? Like if you had to go back to Loyola and become a principal again. And because I feel like that's the key point we're missing, is learning kindness. Kids like to pick on kids because sometimes, you know, they want a reaction from somebody else. They don't realize that they're hurting other people.
Or I think more often it's because I look in the mirror and I'm not thrilled. So I pick a quality that I have that somebody is missing, and then I pick on them and put them down, and I feel better about who I am. I think that's really the root of the bullying. And it's, I think, most powerful between 7th and 10th grade.
Yeah.
Those 3 years. And it's because of that tremendous insecurity. Boys and girls, the hormones are raging. They're becoming men and women. They don't know what's going on. The emotions are flooding. And they look in the mirror, and there's never happy. And unfortunately, it seems to affect 8th, 9th, and 10th grade girls more. Oh. They are so sensitive about how they look and who said hello and who didn't say hello. And in that moment, if I can put somebody down who I consider more ugly or doesn't have the latest fashion or didn't do the greatest haircut, and I can put them down, I feel superior for a moment. And I remember I always walked with kids and says, what a cheap way to feel better.
Yeah,
that caused pain for another human being. So when your answer or your question about what do we do with schools, I think we address that head on and say, when you don't feel good about yourself, does it make sense then to hurt someone else? Instead, let's look in the mirror and pick out your best qualities and say, well, here's what I can do. I can offer this to the world. I can make a difference. So kindness, I think, would flow from that. And that goes back to empathy. You know, kindness is you're walking down the street and here's somebody laying there bleeding. If you have any empathy at all, oh my gosh, I'm going to dial 911. I'm going to do something. But if you're lacking empathy, too bad.
Yeah.
They can die.
Yeah. You didn't see this in church on Sunday, but a lady in front of me passed out. Father Fogel was teaching this past on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's amazing how many people helped her. I was like two rows behind her. Now, I'm going to admit, I sat there because there's so many people that already came to her. Like, if I would have came in, it would just been more people in the pot.
But, oh, yeah.
You know,
and if there's some of my nurses and doctors, let them go first.
Oh, yeah. Well, one guy was, you know, a firefighter anyways because he had it on his jacket. So I'm like, she's in good hands. But,
yeah,
you know, that's another good thing we can start teaching kids too, is when they see somebody hurt, help that kid out. If you see somebody sitting alone at the lunchroom, go sit by them.
Perfect.
go sit by them. They can do the same thing, what, like, as far as that lady in church the other day who passed out. Nobody sat there and ignored that person. She needed help. They had been like 10 people rushed in and helped her right away. I don't think Father Fogel even saw it because we were sitting way in the back, but it was so quick. Boom, she got help. After mass, apparently she was fine.
Probably just hadn't eaten that morning, low blood sugar.
Yeah, yeah. But
I have a server go down every so often that way, so we keep a juice pack now in the sacristy.
That's smart. Anyway, it's the same thing. We can, if adults can do that, kids can learn how to do this stuff with people that they see sitting by themselves, people who they see that are getting hurt. I guess, do you have any advice how teachers, I do have teachers that listen to this podcast, how they can start incorporating kindness? Ninth grade in the McHale School District, this was a report back in November, majority of their bullying happens at ninth grade for the McHale Public Schools. How do you change?
I would agree with that, just in all schools.
Yeah, but that was their report that I saw. How do we change that culture? It's a pretty big question. Is it possible to even change the culture?
Oh, I think absolutely. If you look at especially films of boys' boarding schools 100 years ago, I mean, it was vicious and it was brutal. You know, I don't think anything in a school, Mankato, Loyola, or East or West or anything else is 1% as brutal. I think we have really made strong inroads. And so it's still happening in bathrooms outside teachers' purviews. It's happening before and after school. So it's still going on, but it's at minuscule level compared to a century ago. So, but how to answer your question, I think, first of all, adult behavior modeling. Secondly, adults calling it out. I think kids need to see us do that.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, driving in a car with your parents and somebody in the sidewalk yells the N-word and the parent just says, that's a cruel word. I hope none of you ever use that. Those kind of things, I think messages, it's the people, families, teachers, support communities, just call it out and model new behavior. I don't see any other good way.
Yeah, you are 100% right. Kids learn this stuff from their parents. When a parent says, I hate this person, or we don't talk to them because they're Baptist or whatever. I don't know, whatever. Kids don't know any better. That's what they pick up on.
I remember early on when I was a principal at Loyola, caught a kid using foul language. And so had a conference with the parents and that dad came in and he was just like almost in tears. And he said, I don't know why that blankly blank kid talks blankly blank like that. Blank. And he used every other word was a curse word. And I thought to myself, I can't believe the kid can get through a sentence without a curse word because that's all he's ever heard. You know, and the dad was clueless. Just clueless. Why is my kid using foul language in school? Oh my gosh.
What, you know, it's tough. Schools are in a tough spot. You know, parents are on them. They want to end bullying. But to end the bullying, it starts with that home.
Family first.
Yes. Family first. And what's your advice to maybe get your home under an order? Stop using profanity. Could be their habit, could be how that person was raised up as well. I, you know, this podcast, we don't pick on any different religions, but I truly feel when you leave God out of a lot of things, this is what we get.
I think a faith-focused, a spiritual life gives you a reason to be a better person. I think if you take any kind of spirituality out of your life, what are you left with except what can I do to make me happier, give me more pleasure, give me more stuff, and to H with everybody else? I mean, the faith dimension is what brings us in and says we're part of a family. We're all God's children. And, you know, whether it's any of the faiths on the planet right now, they're pretty universal. And all of them have extremists who are nutcases.
Yeah.
But all the major religions, their center group, their main teaching is love one another, treat others as you want to be treated. Yeah, I think the faith dimension is important. I think the faith has to be nourished. That's why we need community. That's why we have worship. We've got 50% of the population in this country no longer considers themselves any kind of religion and never worships. Another way that I've really promoted is family dinners. I don't know if you've ever watched or any people listening to the podcast ever watched Blue Bloods. It's going 7 seasons now. But every single episode ends with a family Sunday dinner. And they're all around the table and they all share who they are and how their week went. And I promoted all my years of working with high school kids. You've got to eat together as a family. All devices have to be checked. Nobody's answering the phone. TV's not on. The radio's not on. And we just simply interact with each other. That to me is going light years to fixing the problem.
That's a good start because I am guilty of this myself. I work evenings because that's my job as a martial arts instructor. My kids are home. My wife, she goes to work overnight. So we don't see each other at home in the evenings. But we do have times where we do, and we're not doing that either, though. So we need to start.
Yeah, so weekends are when neither of you are working, then make it a highest priority possible to have a meal together with no devices.
I love that. It's a great idea. And it's probably a simple way to start showing kindness to your kids as well. And it's simple. Maybe just make it one day a week if you have to.
That's better than not.
Yes. Love the idea.
Yeah.
Well, Father, I want to thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I heard your sermon that day and I was like, this is perfect. You said this so perfectly. When you label, we start throwing labels on people, we are forgetting about the human behind that label. And we need to see past that label and just see people for who they are and what they can offer. I love it. Father, if people want to get a hold of you, I'm not sure how much you are on social media. How can they do that?
Social media is a little trickier. I was more involved before we became Red and Blue, and then the viciousness started coming out, and I thought my life's too short to accept all this vicious crap coming at me. So I would just say email, text. Text not so good. Well, probably a phone call or an email.
Sure, what's your email address?
It's FR because I'm a father, so FR Schneider, SCHNEIDER. 51, the year I was born, at gmail.com. So fatherschneider51@gmail.com.
Father, thanks again for coming on today.
Very good. Thanks for doing what you're doing.
And for myself, you can always find us at our very own website, which is www.breakingbullying.com. You can also reach out to us at our email address. If you have a story of your own bullying to share, or for whatever reason, you want to get a hold of us, our email address is breakbullyinghere@gmail.com. Now, if you're a victim of bullying and you don't know where to turn, there is online resources to help you. The first is the government's very own anti-bullying website, and the address is www.stopbullying.gov. And other online resource is www.pacer.org/bullying. Now, if you have had thoughts of suicide or of self-harm, we implore you to stop. Reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. That number is very simple. It's 988. I'm Tim Flynn, and thank you for listening, and we will be back next week to continue the conversation to break the silence on bullying.